Today I would like to offer to you understanding the impermanent nature of things in life and finding happiness through this understanding, because life has a lot of things going there, you know, mainly a lot of negative things in life making us unhappy, through hearing or through seeing what other people said, what other people do to us, and that, you know, create a unhappiness in dealing with relationships. We have anxieties and we have worries. What happens? It comes down to mainly to what happens if I'm rejected? What happens if I'm not accepted? What happens if I'm not loved? What happens if I were not, you know, if I'm not a, you know, one of them, you know, like that. So we're going through life like this of what if and what, you know, other people wants, and what if I don't comply with what other people wants, rather than living on our own principle and to create harmony with other people. So through this, coming down to this, either you have a relationship at home with your partner or with your children, parents, parent-in-laws, friends, colleagues, brothers and sisters, all these things are coming from this bottom line of, will I be accepted, will I be rejected, that sort of things. So practicing Buddhism is to understand of what life is all about, what people are, you know, thinking, and what we are thinking, and what's going on inside our minds, to understand these things. And then what we have done in the past, we can't do anything now. What's going to happen in future, we don't know what's going to happen. But here, now, this word now, this moment, we can do something about it. That's what Buddha is suggesting. Your happiness in life is in your hands. Where? This moment, right now. That's where it is. That your happiness is. Isn't it? So, understanding this, and then we try to contemplate, you know, what is happening in life, isn't it? And then we heard something, either our partner or our children or our parents or friends or colleagues said something, and then we start chewing on it, we start getting worried. Why did he say that? Why did she say that? Why is my daughter said that? Isn't it, you thinking and thinking and thinking, why is my partner say that? Why is my friend say that? All these worries and anxiety building up, isn't it? As if they are going to last forever. That feeling, emotion of anxieties and worries, you know, what should I do, you know, to, in essence, is to pull them back to my views and my way of doings and what I want, my expectations. That's what I want people to do. And now they are not doing it. My partner is not doing it. My parents are not doing it. My children are not doing it. My friends are not doing it. You know, in the bottom line, they are going against us, our desires and wishes, isn't it? And then we, later on, we go and poke at them, you know, little by little, try to suss out what information you want, you know, what you expect, and then it annoys them. That's called nagging, isn't it? It annoys them, and especially to parents and children. Sometimes children shut it off and they don't hear what you say anymore, and they don't take importance of what you say anymore. Total ignorance. That's what happened, isn't it? Our partner's the same. You know, where were you yesterday? You know, you should be home by, you know, so and so times. You were 40 minutes late. And then they say blah, 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 and then you're not satisfied that, you know, answer. You're chewing and chewing again, you know. And let's keep going on. Your friends, the same. You said you're going to do this. You said you're going to do that. You didn't do it. You know, unsatisfactoriness in life because we have these expectations to have happiness and people to say, you know, to us what we like to hear, people to do to us what we like them to do to us in our favor, you know. And then with our partners, you know, they are there, you know, bringing flowers if possible every morning, isn't it? Do all sort of things. We want our, you know, ladies to do everything for us, same thing, isn't it? And then what I see in relationship breakdowns, you know, the husbands come home and, you know, grab a beer and sit on the couch and then watch footy or whatever, and the wife cooking and then lots of dishes and then, you know, later on washing and that sort of things, you know. But in Buddhist way of thinking is you start thinking, and when you eat that food, you eat with mindfulness. What a delicious food that is. And then you appreciate it and you're grateful. And then later on, you go and wash the dishes. And when you do that, you know, watch your feelings. How hard it is to put yourself that effort to wash those dishes. Same thing, of course, your lady washing the dishes, she has to put effort into it. So Buddhism is trying to not only see ourselves, we see about other people as well, the same feeling they would have. Through this awareness, through this mindfulness, Buddha said, applying internally and then applying that externally. So these are the things. So, you know, somebody just sit there and have a beer and then keep watching the telly until you go to bed. It's ignorant, isn't it? You know, of the fact what's going on around. And one day somebody said, that's enough, I'm leaving. And they're surprised, why? What's wrong? Isn't it? That's what happened, you know, both sides. That's what happened. So these are the things to see, you know, what is happening in life internally. So what is impermanence? The emotions and feelings that we are having now of what people are not saying that we want to hear, of not doing what we want them to do, that disappointment and the satisfactoriness coming up, anger, sometimes anger, we're really angry at our partners, at our parents, at our children, you know, like that. And when that anger or feelings and emotions coming up, we have to challenge Buddhist teaching that things are impermanent, things are changing. That means not permanent, isn't it? So that anger, that feelings we have, we close our eyes and keep watching that. Keep meditating on that, oh, this is anger, this is anger, this is anger. Really knowing anger as it is, this is anger. Keep meditating like that, right? And when you meditate like that, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, over an hour, you find that somehow you calm yourself down because you're doing meditation. And that anger and whatever severe traumatic feelings and emotions, they subside. That's the experience. Try it. Challenge it. That's what Buddha said. Challenge it. You have these traumatic emotions coming up you can't control. And it's choking you there. You don't know what to do. Meditate, you know. Ignore those things. And then when those feelings are strong, watch those feelings. Don't participate. We are observing. We're not going to join that emotion and feelings. Say, oh, that's sadness. That's anger. That disappointment. Keep watching. Keep watching. And then if you watch long enough, it subsides and then you become peaceful and calm somehow. That's how the body and the mind works. Because
who does the dishes?
That part is the, for people, if you want them to do the dishes, you have to use your skill, isn't it? You just can't go and say, you know, take a knife from the drawer and say, you're going to wash dishes or not? You can't do that, isn't it? That's unskillful, isn't it? You skills in life, you living with each other for that long, you know what they, you know, they are like, and then you approach in a skillful way, you know? All right, sweetheart, you know, I'm very tired now. I would appreciate if you go and wash the dishes. And then you can say, if you don't wash the dishes tomorrow, I'm not going to cook. Skills, isn't it? Or I'll take you to... get that all the machines from that, you know, auto shop that you want. I'll let you buy them, you know, if you wash the dishes. Like that, isn't it? So these are the skills that you build up. You know, some you have to prod them, you know. You have to poke them to do things. Some they understood, but mostly because of the conditioning things, right? Men won't do that. That's conditioned. But it's changing now. It's gender equality is coming to the forefront. I'll tell you a story about this, macho sort of attitude by men. In Asia, some people are like that, traditionally brought up like that. So we have our relatives, you know. I wouldn't mention names, just in case they're listening. I'd be in trouble next time I see them. So when they come here, you know, they live with our families and this and that, of course, relatives. So we purposely, like myself and like the other males, you know, go and wash the dishes, right? Educating them, you know? And then, you know, they look at us, you know, like that, you know? And then they have some friends from the army in those days, you know, they go and visit them. And this guy from the army said, for the day when he is here, so and so is here, I'll be a macho, you know? I won't do anything. You know, he doesn't want to offend, you know, these friends. But for us, it's different. We are relatives. We say, that's not acceptable, you know? And our thinkings here are different. So we purposely go and wash dishes. Team up, you know, wing each other and let's go and wash dishes, isn't it? And then a new family come to settle in Australia, you know? We train them like that, you know? We invite them to our house, dinner and lunches and things like that. Afterwards, I go and wash. Isn't it? So these are the things, carefully thinking. So if you have this knowing about life, isn't it? And how to persuade, educate, not confrontation, not forcing. Persuasion and education. So if you live that way, then if you control your mind, knowing that things are not permanent. If this anger there I have now, you know, if I let it grow, it'll become a big monster, and then I come to a stage I can't control it anymore, and that big monster will spew out foul things from your mouth, all the words you said, undesirable, and all the brutal actions that you do, that big monster, the anger, you can't control it, you'll damage anything. So with this understanding, as long as the anger comes up, you ask yourself questions, what do I want now? Do you want happiness? Or do I want, you know, misery, unhappiness, and finally could even be separation from the loved ones? So what do I want, happiness or misery? And decisive action there, determination, that I want happiness, but the mind is weak, still weak, and you know, even though you want happiness, the ego and the emotions coming up, and you want to shoot those words to the other side. That's why we are doing meditation, to train this mind, to make it stronger. Otherwise, hopeless, you can't do it, isn't it? Other people coming to attack you with big guns and tanks and aeroplanes, what you have is a little bamboo fence and then two spears that you have. How are you going to fight, isn't it? Same thing, these emotions and feelings, anger and things like that, we have to have this deep understanding and then, you know, strength that you can withstand it. What is the deep understanding? Understanding that things are impermanent, things are changing. This feeling and emotions will pass away. Right? And you don't have to act on it because I'm angry. You go and say blah 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 to somebody. If you don't know what to do, just smile and sit quietly. Go away somewhere that you don't have to interact with them. You know, go for a walk or go for window shopping or go and have a cuppa or something like that. Go out. And when you come down, come back. Buy something that they like, a chocolate or something, and give it to them and give them a hug. Don't say anything. You know? Then that loving kindness you have changed and you have shown will be a little seed that you're growing. It'll grow consistently. You look after it, it'll blossom into a beautiful tree, isn't it? But if you neglect it, don't water it anymore, then it'll wither and die. So this loving kindness you're doing, you have to keep growing it, isn't it? So the best part is understanding that things are impermanent. Oh, these things will change no matter what, no matter how serious it is. We have an escape route, you know, this anxiety, this sadness, this anger there. Oh, I don't have to worry anything. We got the answer now, because it's going to pass by itself, because it's impermanent, like tossing a ball in the air. Can't stay there, it has to come down. Because Buddha said, you know, whatever is subject to arising is also subject to cessation and passing away. That's what Buddha said, you know. So that's the exact words of the Buddha, and we, you know, investigate it, we practice it or challenge it. This anger I have, will it stay forever? Because if it's going to stay forever, I'm going to say things now, I'm going to do things now with this anger that I'll damage the relationship, that I'll regret later, and this anxiety and worries I have now, right? Out of anxiety, I'll do something to myself. Or these anxieties and worries, with time, will it pass away? If you know that, the answer is there. Oh, I don't have to worry anything about it. You know, feeling sad, feeling anger, feeling having anxiety, it'll pass. Just sit tight and wait peacefully, breathing in and breathing out, knowing that it will go away, isn't it? And that you have to challenge it. Will it go away? Is that going to stay there forever? When you get angry, meditate, just watching that anger. After a while, what will happen? You get bored. You yawn and you get bored and you forgot about that anger. Isn't it? That's what life is all about. We are making it too seriously, isn't it? So don't take it seriously. Life is like that. You know, let it pass. Don't participate. Don't do anything. If you don't want to do anything, don't know what to do anything, go and give him a hug and then sit quietly and make a cup of tea or something like that. Don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut, right? If you don't keep your mouth shut, you'll be in big trouble. Like this, and in these Buddhist tales, the turtle in the pond, fresh pond, you know, every year these two, you know, birds come and visit. Two pelicans, you know, come and visit, and then they talk to him. It's stories, right? Animals don't really talk, it's a story. the pelican said, you know, tell the turtle, you know, the stories about other places, green trees and green valleys and oceans and, you know, deserts and things like that. The turtle said, oh, all my life I've been in this little pond, I've never seen anything like that. I wish I could see them, you know. And then the two pelicans thinking, they said, we got an idea, you know. What you do, on a stick, you bite the stick in the middle, and the other end we will, you know, carry you, you know, fly you over. Oh, that's a good idea, you know, because I can really bite and for a long time, you know. Okay, that's good, so let's do it. So take a long stick and then the turtle bite in the middle. Again, it's a story, all right? The turtle bite in the middle and the two pelicans start flying, you know. Because the turtle is heavy, they can't fly very high. So it's a low altitude, you know, gliding. And then they pass the schoolyard. The kids look up and, oh, look, that's a turtle, you know. And one of them said, oh, it's a stupid turtle, you know. Turtle heard that, I got very angry. He's so angry, he said, who you said you are angry? He opened his mouth and he fell down to his dead. So this is just to refresh you a bit. So if you're angry, don't do anything. Keep your mouth tight shut. Know that whatever anxiety, anger you have will pass, right? They will rise, they will cease, and they will pass. Don't do anything, meditate. And that's my offering tonight. Hope you can use it in your daily life. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.